This podcast was first broadcast on 92.6 FM Radio Verulam. Go to radioverulam.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts and, if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around St Albans and from further afield. Now, I hope that you're well and enjoying the tree blossom that is awakening all around St Albans. From the blackthorn and the wild cherry blossom lighting up Hartwood to the themed red and white blossoms on Sandridge Road to commemorate one of the battles of the Wars of the Roses taking place at Bernard's Heath, they are all stunning this year. Absolutely gorgeous, aren't they? And really do make the town look fantastic. Now, perhaps if you've got space for a tree in your garden, then it's a good time to spy something that really takes your eye. Make a note of it now, and then you'll be ready to order and plant it this coming autumn. Now, coming up later, events are now registered for this year's Sustainability Festival. What do we have to look forward to? I'll be talking to Sustainability Festival Working Group Chair Jill Watson. But first, if you heard last week's programme, you'll have heard local sixth former Olivia talking about her petition asking St Albans District Council to provide special coffee cup recycling bins in St Albans city centre. Now, if you missed the show, then you can listen to it now if you go to the podcast page of radioverulam.com. And Olivia was disturbed by the amount of coffee cups accumulating in landfill bins in St Albans Town Centre and was keen to do something to get them recycled. Now, I spoke to Sarah Torrance, the Public Realm Officer at St Albans District Council, who said that she'd met with Olivia and was impressed by her petition. Sarah said that, in fact, St Albans Business Improvement District has looked specifically at the possibility of coffee cup recycling a couple of years ago and had put together a funding application to do this, which unfortunately was rejected. And BID had worked out that the annual cost of providing the bins would be about £50,000 per year, which is certainly a lot more than I was expecting. But Sarah pointed out that this isn't just to cover the cost of the bins, but also the manual emptying and sorting of the bins each day and sending the coffee cups off to the recycling plant for processing. Also, Sarah explained that coffee cups labelled as compostable need to be put in home compost and can't be recycled in the same waste stream as other coffee cups, which of course just makes the recycling so much more complicated. So what can we take from this? Well, first of all, Sarah said that she would encourage all of us to get back to using reusable cups like we did before COVID. Apparently, we were really getting very good at remembering our own cups here in St Albans. And as it's now been shown that reusable coffee cups aren't an infection risk, we can get back to using them again. So that's just something to remember to pop into your bag if you're out, perhaps meeting a friend for a coffee. The second point is that, as I said, a lot of coffee shops are now using cups which are labelled as compostable. So if you do get your coffee in one of those cups, then just shake out the drips, flatten it so that it's easy to pop into your pocket or your bag, and then take it home rather than putting it into a bin where it won't get composted. I then rip the cup up into little bits and mix it with the rest of the stuff in my compost bin so that all the compost bugs can easily get to work on it. And if you find yourself with one of the non-compostable disposable coffee cups, then again, shake out the drips, flatten it, take it home and put it with your Tetra Pak collection, and then take it over to the recycling point near Waitrose the next time you're over there. And do make sure that your Tetra Paks are all flattened, as flat as you can do, as that collection point has a lot of work to do now that the other collection points around the district have gone. And I would say, actually, that our local independent coffee shops are much more likely to give you a compostable cup if you don't have your own reusable cup. So another great reason to support our lovely local businesses. Right, so St. Albans Sustainability Festival. It's 2 weeks of sustainability-themed events run by all sorts of organisations and businesses around St. Albans, Harpenden and the surrounding villages. This year, it's taking place from the 23rd of May to the 6th of June, and registration for events is now closed. I spoke to Jill Watson, chair of the SustFest working group, to find out how registration had gone and what we all had to look forward to. Jill, thank you for joining me. So all the registrations are in, you've looked at them, you've gone through them all. How's it gone?
It's actually gone really well, thank you, Amanda. I think we've been absolutely, you know, pleasantly surprised by the uptake this year. We know that people were very cautious for what kind of events that they were wanting to plan and whether they could plan the events that they wanted to do. But registration has gone really, really well. And we've got over 100 public events and over 150 events in total. So yes, we're all very, very pleased.
Brilliant. That sounds really good. And how many groups have got involved?
Well, we've got practically the same number of groups. I mean, all of these events are mostly from, you know, individual groups, kind of local community groups that are, you know, doing things like community gardens. Schools are obviously involved. We've got businesses involved. We've got charities involved. Yeah, it's been a really, really, really positive response.
Indeed. You must be absolutely delighted with that. So, yeah. I mean, you've mentioned, a few things there. Can you just give us a taste of some of the events that we've got to look forward to?
Yes, I absolutely can. We've actually, like I said, we've got quite a nice mix of events that are happening. We were obviously concerned that, you know, we would be very restricted and mainly have to do things online, but we've got a really good variation. We've got things like Helping the Wild Hedgehogs, which is a live stream that's going to be going ahead. We've got Open Community Gardens, like I previously mentioned, with the Hearts Asian Women Association, talking about how to grow ginger and things like that. And then we've got bigger events such as the sustainable markets, and one that I'm really quite looking forward to, which is a lunchtime concert, singing the birds and the bees with the St. Albans Cathedral. So a really nice mix of, you know, of things coming up there.
Brilliant. So it's not just us sitting in front of yet another Zoom call.
No, but those Zoom calls are actually looking really good as well. You know, the people have really taken advantage of having a bit more of a scope for, you know, online presentations and discussions. And there's some really good things on the list. You know, you can talk about renewable energies or, you know, sharing information on kind of, you know, various cooking lessons and things like that. It's really great, a really good mix of information, whether you want to stay at home or whether you want to get out there and, you know, see a bit of nature.
Yeah, sounds brilliant. So you mentioned the sustainable markets. They're at either end of the festival. Can you just tell us a little bit about those and what we can look forward to there?
Yeah, we're really lucky this year that we've got a sustainable market on the 23rd of May, which is the very first day of the festival. And then we've got another sustainable market on the 6th of June, which is the very last day of the festival. And these will run in St. Albans. On the 23rd of May, there's quite a nice emphasis on not just traders for sustainable products, but it's the charity groups, it's initiatives. You know, it's going to be a nice mix of kind of community-based stalls so that you can, you know, come and information share as well as, you know, maybe pick up something that you needed to buy. So yeah, really, hopefully we get some nice weather for those. And, you know, people are really quite keen to shop in a COVID safe environment and to chat in a COVID safe environment. And so obviously with the sustainable markets being outdoors, you know, we're hoping for a really positive event there.
That sounds good as well. So you mentioned COVID there. I suppose that's going to be the big thing that people are thinking about. Will it all be COVID safe? Will it go ahead even if COVID restrictions change, for example?
Yeah, so we've done quite a lot of work in the lead up to registration on advising people of, you know, what to consider when they plan their events. So actually, all of the events, you know, the organisers know what the restrictions are and where we'll be at that stage, hopefully, by the 23rd of May. And so things that are outside are able to be within socially distant groups, things like walks or kind of, you know, basically just, you know, looking at a community garden. It'll be limited to, you know, certain numbers. There will be a booking system so that people know exactly how many people are going to attend events. So it'll be very transparent how many people are going to be there. And really, we've not got that many indoor events that are, you know, because we can't do that. It's going to hopefully be rule of six by then. The outdoor restriction is hopefully going to be around 30 people for a group, but that won't really be a problem because things will be distanced and groups haven't been organised bigger than that. So we have made sure that people know the rules. And so from that point of view, hopefully we wouldn't have to cancel anything. I'm hoping that Boris's plan of going forward will stick. And if the weather stays good, people will mainly be outside.
Well, that's good to hear as well. So there's so much exciting stuff that you've spoken about there. When will we be able to see the programme?
So we're working on the programme of events at the moment, and we're aiming to have that available on our website by the 1st of May. So that will be on the susfest.org website. You'll be able to hopefully flick through, look at all of the events, have a look at what you fancy going to, and then within that programme there'll also be links for you to go to either the event organised website or their booking situation. So yeah, the 1st of May.
So that's not too long to wait for that. Now, I can imagine that some people are listening and thinking, oh, do you know, I was going to do something, or actually hearing about that, I'm really inspired to do something. Obviously, it's too late to get in the programme, but is it still worth getting in touch and saying, yes, this is what we're planning to do?
Absolutely. It's definitely still worth getting in touch. And, you know, we will still support people that are, you know, wanting to run an event. We do have quite a lot of information on the website for what, you know, a support package for a toolkit for if you want to run an event. So if you got in touch and you still wanted to do something, we'd be quite happy to, you know, let you use our logo if you wanted to be part of the of the festival. We could still support you in, you know, promoting a little bit as well. So we want to make sure everybody is involved that wants to be involved, because, you know, we all want to get this message of sustainable living across.
Indeed, I'm sure you do, and I think you're doing a great job there, Jill. So just thinking about some of the things that have been necessary to allow SusFest to go ahead, you've got some fantastic sponsors there. Would you just like to take the opportunity to mention them?
Yes, we definitely would. We've been so lucky over the last few years to get some great sponsors. And this year we've had money from Octopus Electric Vehicles, who have been one of our main community sponsors, as well as the Lottery Community Fund and the St Albans Bid. And that funding has meant that, you know, we've been able to go forward this year. So without that, we wouldn't have been doing anything. With all the best will in the world and, you know, loads of volunteers, we still need the money to run these things. So we're super grateful to our sponsors.
Indeed, Jill. Well, it is lovely to have something so positive to look forward to. Thank you so much for coming and updating us on that.
Thank you so much.
I was talking there to Jill Watson, chair of the SusFest Working Group. And you might recognise Jill from her Phase Out Plastic Market stall, which she is delighted to have back on St Albans Charter Market each Wednesday. So do go and say hi to her there. And if you want to find out more about the Sustainability Festival, or you want to tell them about an event that you'd like to run during the fortnight, then check out their website, sustfest.org. And I'm delighted to say that we'll be celebrating SusFest here on 92.6 FM Radio Verulam, with lots of features and interviews across our programmes all the way through the festival. So do watch out for more details of that. Now, over 200 St Albans residents have already filled in the St Albans Residents Climate Emergency Survey, which I spoke to Catherine Ross of Sustainable St Albans about here on Environment Matters a couple of weeks ago. Now, if you didn't catch that, then as always, you'll find the show on the podcast page of radioverulam.com. Now, Catherine explained that the survey is intended to find out what we're already doing to cut our carbon emissions organisations, what we would like to do and what help we might need to do that. And there's also an opportunity for you to suggest your big idea that you think would make us more climate friendly here in St Albans. Now, the survey takes about 10 minutes to fill in, and by doing so, you're giving yourself the chance to win £100. You'll find a link to the survey on the Sustainable St Albans website or on the St Albans Friends of the Earth website too. So do fill it in yourself and share it with other people, whether you think they're climate conscious or not, doesn't matter. Everyone's views are valued. Now, one of the big lockdown wins is that many of us now have street groups on social media where we've been connecting with and helping our neighbours during the pandemic. And perhaps if you've got children living in your road, then you might like to go one step further and make your street a place to play with the Playing Out scheme. Now, Playing Out shows communities how to shut their roads to traffic, perhaps once a month, so that kids can play in the streets and adults can come out and chat or perhaps share a cuppa. Sounds nice, doesn't it? Now, St Albans Playing Out say that although Playing Out sessions are not currently possible in St Albans District, they are aiming to be in a position where we can get everyone playing out as quickly as possible once restrictions are lifted. And they say that they're now accepting applications from new streets for Playing Out sessions from June onwards. Now, I think that this is a brilliant and simple way for everyone to get out and perhaps put some names to faces after just being introduced on social media. So to find out how to apply to close your road for Playing Out in St Albans District, check out the St Albans District Playing Out Facebook page or go to the Playing Out section of the Sustainable St Albans website. And they have actually, they've got a couple of Zoom meetings coming up this week where they're going to have lots of advice on how to get play and the community back on your street. Now, it's always good to hear from you. You'll find me on Twitter at @RV_environment or go to the Environment Matters Facebook page where you can message. You can drop me a line on amanda@radiorowlam.com. Perhaps you've got an idea about what you'd like us to cover on the show or a comment from today's show. I'm going to be back at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.